Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and we were scheduled to have Dan Millman and his wonderful book, The Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, and we have not been able to reach Dan, so I'm hoping that everything is okay with him. So right now what we're going to do is make it so we're going to keep trying to call him, and then telephone lines will be open if you'd like to call in the interim. And our telephone number, if you would like to chat with me today, is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or in Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. So again, we're going to try to call Dan again to see what's happened. It could be that he got stuck in a traffic jam somewhere, whatever's happened. But anyway, let's get started with a little bit of thought here. Obstacles are fears that need to be transformed. When you've successfully released and transformed them, you're one step closer to your dream. This is a quote by Alida St. James, and I thought it was an appropriate situation. We can always have conditions shift on us unexpectedly. It's just like with today's show. Something can happen to a guest. So what do you do? What you do is, using an old-fashioned word, you punt. And that means that you move with whatever is happening and whatever you need to do to get things going, you get them going. Life does not go in a straight line. And my husband and I were discussing something this morning because I review anywhere from 3 to 4 books a day when my schedule allows for that. And I was talking about the different subjects that I had. I'm reading material about a very famous person and then also going back into some material dealing with history. And the various aspects of history that so often repeat themselves over and over again. And how we have to have due diligence about obstacles that can come up in our lives over and over again. And they're the same kinds of patterns, but maybe they wear different costumes. So they throw us off a little bit. And fear can come in and undermine you so deliberately. And often it can be someone else's fear that can undermine you deliberately. And so what can you do? The first thing we need to do is really be alert to the fact that something is an obstacle in our path, and that we may have to think differently about how we're going to handle the obstacle. Maybe what we would have done a few years before, or maybe the day before yesterday, is not necessarily going to work effectively. So we sort of have to step out of our comfort zone to look at what our options might be. And that is so very, very significant. It's not an easy thing to do. And too often we're so afraid of making mistakes that we will often just stay in the same place with our thinking, with our habits, with our environment, because we know it. Let me give you an example. There was a program I watched a number of years ago, and this really made an imprint on my mind. There was a photographer who in the 60s wanted to save the world. He decided that he was going to film a certain neighborhood in New York. And for so many of you, you know what the 60s were like. It was the, oh, gee, everybody's going to love everything time. It was also a time when there was so much turbulence. There were issues dealing with racism. There were issues dealing with drugs and a breaking of old traditions and just all kinds of upheaval. Old walls of thinking were being forced to crumble. Well, in the course of that, this young photographer decided that he was going to do some research, and he went into a section of town, and I think it was in New York, and this was a real rough section. Drug trafficking was pretty heavy, and all kinds of things were going on, and he interviewed 20 people. They were of all levels of life and environment, and he interviewed every one of them, and at that time, they were fairly young. There were a number of them that were involved with drugs. The few that I remember very vividly was a young woman who was in her teens, and she wanted to go to college so that she could move away from the neighborhood. There was another man who was a thief, and he wanted to be able to get out of the neighborhood too, and he talked about how life was tough and how ugly everything was around him. And there were other people that he interviewed as well. So I think it was about 20 individuals. Well, he decided he was going to go back, and his documentary was well received. He decided he was going to go back to that neighborhood again. 25 years after he did the original documentary, he goes back into the neighborhood. A number of the 20 people had either died, he found out that they had been killed on the street, a good percentage of them, but the thief that he had interviewed, who was in his teens 25 years before, he found out was still a thief. In fact, he followed the guy with his camera because the guy was hopping all the rooftops in the area, looking for ways to get in, and he would try to steal whatever he could. This documentary reporter was just absolutely astonished. He found the young woman that wanted to go to college and wanted to leave the neighborhood. He found she had gone to school, but she had gotten pregnant, and she decided she wanted to be on welfare. When he talked to her, it was because she found that it was easy. She had to work too hard. Of the 20 people he had interviewed 25 years before, no one had left the neighborhood. Now, this was so poignant to me because I was aware of the conversations, due to his documentary of 25 years afterwards, of the fact that here were people that were literally blocks away from opportunity. Blocks, just blocks. They could walk to it. And yet they chose to stay in the environment that they had grown up in. Why? Now, there were some of them, a number of them, again, that had gotten involved in drugs or alcohol and had died. Some were in prison because they had murdered somebody. But others that had had the opportunity for education, even though they had done it to a degree, they still hadn't made the choice to leave the neighborhood. And how many of us can do the very same thing? We might live in a nice house or maybe we've got a nice job, but we still don't leave the neighborhood of our mental attitudes and barriers. We stay in comfort zones because we know them. What this reporter found is that people were afraid of the unknown. They desired, they wanted, they would watch television and they'd say, oh, I deserve this, or how come life is treating me so unfairly? But they wouldn't step out and away from their fears. Even though they were in dire misery, some of them, they wouldn't leave it behind because they knew their misery. And so they were comfortable with their misery for all of their complaining and for all of the negative things they would talk about, how tough the world is and everything else. They still would not leave the neighborhood, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And that is something we all must keep in mind. Be willing to leave your neighborhood. Be willing to expand your life. Be willing to step up and demonstrate what you really, earnestly, sincerely believe is yours to enjoy. But there are no shortcuts. Many times when I will speak with people, I find that they're trapped so tightly by their fears. They want to have a better life, but they do not want to let go of the security of their misery. Now, that sounds really weird, doesn't it? You'd think if someone was in pain and they were suffering, that they would be willing to step into opportunity to separate from that. Sadly, I found too frequently people haven't been willing to do that. I know of a woman that died from cancer just a week ago. And she was in so much discontentment in her life that she did not want to battle for her life, and she was given opportunities to do that. She had a very dear friend that would say, please, you don't need to be in the misery. But she was so unhappy with her life. She felt it was better to let go of this experience rather than to stand up for what she really wanted and what she really believed in. You see, we always have choice. We really do. And no matter where we are, no matter where you might be, good, bad, or indifferent, you have been given the opportunity and privilege of being able to think. You can make choices and decisions that can change your life in the blink of an eye. And the first thing, the first place that you start with is your thinking. Then it has to be the action that goes with the thinking. And so often, people will think that they should just sit and just meditate, and that should take care of it. Excuse me, but if you don't get up off your tush and get going and put out some action and start talking to people and look and read, observe, and put out some initiative, nothing's going to happen. You can think until the cows come home, and you can starve to death if you're trying to figure out a way to feed yourself and feed your family. You can starve to death emotionally if you clam up and you don't reach out and talk to people. There's so many things here. So remember, when you are going through life, you always have these wonderful choices in front of you. You need to remember to feed your mind with the right kind of information, because obstacles are fears that need to be transformed. And isn't that a wonderful way to look at life? An obstacle. How can I transform it? Michelangelo, when he went to carve David, he found David in a piece of marble. Then when he looked at it, he saw David in it. Now, he could see David, but nobody else could. And Michelangelo transformed a piece of marble into something utterly magnificent, something that today people stand in awe of. And that's what you need to remember you can do for yourself. And it may take you some time. Michelangelo did not chip David out in 15 minutes. It took him years. But he wanted to make sure that David was going to be the most magnificent David that anybody could ever desire. And he literally, if you've ever seen him, it just feels like he's alive. An awesome, awesome sculpture. And that's what you can do with your life. But you have to pay attention. So if you're going through obstacles and you're facing fears, when you are willing to look at them and say, I'm going to transform them, then like Alida St. James said, you're one step closer to your dream. And that is a wonderful place to be. This is Donna Sebo and my guest today, Dan Millman. We have yet to been able to reach him, but if you want to call in, our telephone lines are open. We'll be rescheduling Dan. Our phone number here, if you're in the U.S., if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, is 877-876-5227. Or if you'd like to call in from Canada, try 888-810-8322. And we also have a direct line of 5308-76-3222. I wanted to share some information with you. This is just a little bit of fluff stuff, but I think it's fun. They have always got research going on one level or another. But this has to do with patternings. And it gives an indication of what you prefer. So think for a minute. What pattern do you enjoy best? Do you like zigzags and swirls? Do you like wide stripes? Do you like plaids or pinstripes? Do you like polka dots? How about florals? Now again, picking a pattern, zigzags or swirls, doesn't make any difference what the color is, wide stripes, plaids or pinstripes, florals, or polka dots. Well, I'm going to share with you what those particular patterns mean. We've got a caller here. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yes, Donna, my name is Linda, and I'm calling from San Antonio, and I can really appreciate what you're saying because it's almost like you're reading what's going on in my life.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, I've got a decision here, a career decision.
Mm-hmm.
I had decided to go into education, elementary school, and now the more I look at it, the more I decide I don't want to be an elementary teacher. I'd rather be a high school teacher.
Well, how wonderful.
Well, I'm looking at a job fair to go to on Thursday, but it looks like, I need the retraining, and I'm happy to do that, but it seems like there's little obstacles that are coming up, like, you know, I want to do journalism, and I'm saying I'll do English, and they're saying, well, you don't have enough English hours. And so I'm kind of in a tizzy, and I'm hoping that you could just see what you can sense insofar as my life and what I'm going to be doing come August, because I have a feeling I'm going to be teaching, but I don't know what. I mean, do you see little kids? Do you see adults? Or do you see something totally different for me?
All right. Now, what I'd like for you to do, first of all, I am looking at your teaching because I think that's what you're called to do, and I think you love it. Let me clarify something first, though. I think you're going to be in with high school students. What I would like to ask you, though, because I'm not quite understanding one particular thing. When you said you're interested in journalism, is this something you would like to teach? Is this something you want to do for yourself? How did the journalism get into the high school student?
Thank you for mentioning that. The fact is that I finished 23 years in journalism, and so I feel like I'm at a point in my life where now I'd like to give back.
Okay. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Let me make a recommendation to you.
Yes, please.
I would like for you, rather than, well, let's do it both ways.
Okay.
Let's encourage you to go to your local community college.
Okay.
And talk to one of the educational counselors there.
Yes.
And say, I have 23 years in journalism, and I would love to be able to reach high school students that might be coming to college to get into journalism.
Uh-huh.
And is there a professor here at the college or someone at the college that's involved in journalism that perhaps could give me some tips, some suggestions?
Good. Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So start there. Start at the upper level.
Yes.
Then what I would encourage you to do is go to a local high school and say, I have all these years of journalism, and just about every high school has their newspaper or publication they want to do.
Yes.
And say, this is where my expertise is. I want to be a teacher. I would love to be able to support the students with this. How would you recommend I go about doing this? And you may want to volunteer to demonstrate what you're able to do, but don't do that until you find out what the attitude of the school is regarding journalism.
Okay.
I think what's happened is you've talked to the wrong people.
I did.
And so what you want to do, you want to just go past the ones you talked with because they don't have an understanding of this.
They don't, no.
And I would check with a number of the schools and say, this is where my expertise is. I've got a degree. I want to be able to refine it. I would love to be able to teach journalism. I have background of 23 years, and I understand someone mentioned that I maybe don't have enough other credits. what would you recommend I do? Because I would love to become a part of your high school environment. I love dealing with kids. And you may find that you're going to have a support among certain staff at the school. But I would try to go to those persons at the school that are overseeing the kids in this environment.
Okay.
And
that's going straight to the heart of the solution.
Right. Yes. I would go right to the people because they need as much support as they can. And if necessary, you may want to start doing something just as a side class with the students that, and just say, hey, kids, it's going to be on your time. And if you want to come to school at 7 a.m. in the morning for an hour before classes start, I assume classes start at 8.
Yes.
But say at 7 a.m., I will teach you journalism.
Excellent.
And then you might not get paid by the school for doing that, but you would be able to inspire the kids. And I'll tell you what, if the kids like it, and if the journalism teacher, the whatever environment is supportive of the school newspaper, et cetera, is supportive of you, you're in like Flynn.
That's true.
Oh, now, let me make another suggestion
yes,
to
please.
You. I would go to any of the local publications with as much experience as you have behind you. You have a number of people that probably in the industry itself complain consistently about how poor journalism is today.
Yes.
That it's more sensationalism, it
yes.
is not good reporting, and I think you need to put together some kind of a curriculum. If you're going to go back to school, do you have a master's?
No, I simply have a bachelor's.
All right, why don't you go back and look at how you could do a master's and use this as your format for your master's degree?
Okay.
On how to be a good journalist.
Okay.
Put together your own title, but do an investigation with different resources that are just right in San Antonio.
Yes.
And go to the businesses and say, this is what I want to do. I can do it in a college, but I'd also like to reach the high school students so that when they go to college, they have something. See, I think you can be teaching in college as well as high school.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Wow.
But I would check with the various businesses
okay.
that are involved that need, whether it's magazines or newspapers, right in your own home turf.
Okay.
Say, would you be supportive if I put something like this together? Could I depend on you? If I needed to have you come and talk to my class, would you do that?
Okay. You are wonderful. You have given me so many ideas, and it seemed like this big old roadblock is now passable.
Hey, see?
You are wonderful, Donna.
Well, thank you so much, hon. Listen, tell your friends about the show, and also send a comment, you know, to the station on bbsradio.com, or send me a comment, you know, let me know how things turn out.
I will
do
that.
Tell me how you feel about the information. We love to do that, and I post it on my website, and then the station posts it on their website, too.
You got it.
All right, hon. Now, you have a good day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Siebel, and I'm so sorry that my guest, Dan Millman, we have not been able to reach him so far. We're going to keep trying because he's a wonderful man, and his book is just outstanding, so I hope everything is okay with him. Meanwhile, the telephone lines are open for you. Here's the telephone number to call, 877-876-5227. We also have 888-810-8322, and then we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Hello, this is Donna. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
From Phoenix, and my name is Michelle.
Where are you calling from again, hon?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, okay. Now, Michelle, I need to tell you, we've got about a little bit over a minute before we're going to take our break.
Okay.
So if I tell you we have to stop, please don't be offended, and just stay on the line, and I will get to you.
Thank you.
All right, dear? Okay, now, Michelle, what I'm looking at with you is you've got to take care of some small stuff that's just sort of floating around. There are some items that need your attention, some circumstances, and I want to say stop fooling around. Take care of what needs to be taken care of. Don't wait until the last minute. Take care of it sooner rather than later. There's also, I think, an opportunity for you to assist a friend at a trade show of some kind. And I would say be sure you know everything that this friend is going to require of you when you're at the show. But make sure you ask that you have some time to wander around. I think it's just going to really broaden your perceptions about so many things. And I want you to be wise here, because during the next month, you've got some paperwork that you're going to be going through. I don't know that it's related to taxes, but I do think there's some paperwork here that must be finished. And so there are some details that you have not taken care of, so please do that. Now, we're going to be going to break for just a minute. So please, Michelle, stay on the line, and then I will be back with you shortly.
Thanks.
And for those of you listening, this is Donna Sebo. Our telephone lines are open this hour, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., Canadians, 888-810-8322. Also, our direct number of 530-876-3222. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website. Go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and before we go back to Michelle, I want to give out our phone number should you want to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227, or from Canada, 888-810-8322, also 530-876-3222. And don't forget, for those of you in New York, I'm coming to the Big Apple. I'll be flying in on Thursday, and I'll be available for private consultations on Friday and Saturday. And so if you'd like to chat with me, 800-872-8852 is my office number where you can reach me. And that goes for any of you that might be interested in having a private consultation with me. So I will be in New York, and so on Thursday we're going to be playing a repeat program, because I haven't quite figured out how to broadcast when you're up in the Big Bird, up in the wild blue yonder. But one day we'll figure that one out too. Okay, let's go back to Michelle. Michelle, this is Donna. Are you still with us?
I am. Thank
you. All right, Dara. What is your question for me today?
Well, I'm trying to get my finances in order. Do you feel like, and there are things that I'm working on to increase my income, do you see that as something that's a positive within the next couple of months?
Well, let me say this to you. Part of what you are going through is learning how to work with money differently. And I think part of what you're experiencing is an understanding that you're having to deal with money differently than you have in the past. It's not just for the next couple of months. You are in this learning curve relative to money that I think is going to have quite an influence for the next 10 years. So when you're going through this, you're asking me a question. Gee, are you going to make it the next couple of months? Yes, you will. But what I want you to be aware of, Michelle, is that changing your attitude about money and about financial flow and the opening up of your willingness to expand into new arenas to compound your income is really going to benefit you. The other side is that you need to realize you are going to be able to be involved in something you absolutely love in generating a very good amount of money. Managing money and making it work effectively for you is a very significant challenge. And so it's a big shift because you just as soon not be bothered with having to think about money. Sometimes you'll say to yourself, gee, if I'd been born with a silver spoon in my mouth, it would have been great. Well, you probably would have been broke. Because you just, even if you had been born with a silver spoon in your mouth, it's just your attitudes and the way you just look at money. And money in and of itself is an inert substance. I mean, it doesn't have any value unless somebody states a value to it. And that's just the way it's always been. It's just another form of exchange. Instead of dealing with cows and horses and pigs and mules, we deal with this, with dollar bills. So this is something I think you're in a learning curve with. And if you can be at peace with that and willing to work with it, I think you're really going to come out way, way ahead.
Well, thank you. I just love listening to your show. Thank you.
What do you enjoy most about the programming?
Well, you are metaphysical, but you're not fluffy metaphysical.
I'm not fluffy. Oh, I like that one.
You're very practical at the same time you're metaphysical. So you're very stable. It's not, you know, it's based on reality and a good foundation.
I had someone, when I was at the women's show this last weekend, made a comment. They said, Donna, you're so grounded. And I really am.
Well, and we benefit by listening to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate those wonderful comments.
Well, thank you for being on the air.
Well, be sure you send us a note at bbsradio.com and also send me an email.
I will.
Do with your thoughts and comments because we'll be happy to post them up on the website.
Okay, I will. Thank
and I so appreciate your feedback, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, dear. You have a fabulous day.
And you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Donna Sebo, and our phone lines are open. If you'd like to give me a call, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. And, of course, we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Okay, I told you that this was fun and wacky. Did you pick a pattern? What do you like, zigzags or swirls, wide stripes, plaids or pinstripes, polka dots or florals? Well, let me tell you what they found in research. People, let's say you doodle a lot, and you like your zigzags or your swirls. These are people that think outside of the box. If you like these particular patternings, you're creative and have a unique solution to any problem. You also like action, but in a relaxed, go-with-the-flow way. Now, people who like zigzags symbolize water and tranquility, and people who prefer them tend to be easygoing. Now, stripes, wide stripes. Well, that's a statement of boldness. You've got a strong personality that's very powerful. This comes from a branding consultant, Vicky Kunkel. And she said, people who love wide stripes are charismatic and great at promoting themselves. They make wonderful, fantastic public speakers because they're outgoing and good at performing. And studies show that most type A personalities prefer thick stripes. Now, what if you like plaids or pinstripes? Well, you've got an eye for detail. Often, you're going to be very meticulous and task-oriented. You're on the go, too, and all the time when it comes to proofreading or number crunching, and nothing will get past you. You detail, detail, detail. You also enjoy routine and like a firm set of rules so you always know what's expected of you. Polka dots. Those of you that love polka dots, you're a social butterfly. You're an extrovert, and you like being the center of the party. You get along with all kinds of people because you are tolerant and open-minded. Polka dots also bring memories of childhood and, for the females, a sense of femininity, which is why you're usually fun and lighthearted. Also, if you like florals, you're a nurturer. You're sensitive and caring. You're the most socially conscious of all types of these patterns that have been mentioned, and you often like working behind the scenes. In fact, you might be the power behind the throne, so to speak, because you like to contribute, but you don't want to be center stage, but you're always there to support those in front of you. You like to help people and make their lives more enjoyable. Now, if you're the type of person that enjoys solid colors, you're not too much into patterns, well, you're an easygoing individual and prefer to see the big picture instead of the details. And let me say this to you. If all of this applied to you, or maybe more than one patterning you enjoy, all of that pertains to you as a person. You know something that bothers me about studies? Have you ever done them? Well, when you look at the questions, you go, well, I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with this. Why don't they say this? Because this is how I feel about it. Sometimes when these studies are done, I don't think they ask enough questions to myself. But anyway, that's just a little bit of trivia stuff that I thought we'd have fun with. So that's what zigzags, wide stripes, florals, polka dots, plaids or pinstripes, and or solid colors can represent. This is Donna Sebo, and I want you to know who we've got coming up this week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about reptiles in love. Now, doesn't that convey a rather odd picture in your mind? I mean, all kinds of reptiles, lizards, and what else can come into your mind? Well, Don Ferguson is a man who's been dealing with people and their relationships for a lot of years, and he's going to be with us tomorrow, and so I'm really looking forward to chatting with him. And then on Thursday, I am flying to New York, so for the program, we're going to be sharing with you a previous program, so you won't be able to call in and chat with me on that day. But, hey, Friday I'll be broadcasting from the Big Apple, and we're going to be talking with Michael Demetrius in his book, May I Kiss You. That's the wonderful book. It's all about teenagers. You know, today's world, there's different types of awareness that young men have and young women. And so this is what we're going to be talking about. And this is really going to be a lot of fun and very interesting. So I want to make sure that you know about that. And for those of you in New York, should you want to reach me and set up a time to meet with me, give me a call at 800-872-8852, and I'll be delighted to get back to you. Let's talk a little bit about a healthy heart. I wanted to share a story with you about a woman who is, well, a lot wiser today because of something that she went through. But there are things that we need to know about. And if you've had a loved one in your family that has had a situation with a heart condition, I know in mine I have, this is something that you maybe should be alert to. And there is a difference between men and women in the way heart attacks affect them. They said heart attack warning signs, not always dramatic in women. This is something that you should be alert to. There's a pain in the center of one's chest, and it lasts more than a few minutes, or goes away and comes back. It can feel like an uncomfortable pressure, squeezing, or fullness. Also, your arms, your back, your neck, jaw, or stomach hurt for no clear reason. You're short of breath. This may occur without chest pain. And you break out in a cold sweat, feel nauseated, or lightheaded. And there's just so many things that can affect you, but the pressure in the chest, especially in men, is something that can be very pronounced. Also, a strange sensation in the arm, and they'll often grip their arms. They'll have pain shooting down through their arms. And so this is important. We had a very dear friend that had a phenomenal, major coronary, and it's just a miracle he's even alive, because he didn't know that it was even coming on. It hit him, and he happened to be near a hospital. They took him to the hospital, and they actually put him into a freezing environment to make the heart slow down into a comatose level while they were able to work on him. And he has no memory of 6 days, but he's here with us, and we're very grateful for it. So there's many different ways that this can happen. When we come back, we're going to be taking a break. I'm going to be sharing Lori Kapetz's story with you. And if you want to call in and chat with me, remember the phone number is 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I wanted to share something with you. Con artists have always been around, and I came across this story, and this is so much fun. Because we're all gullible. On one level or another, we can always be taken in. But this was just so much fun to read about. This was about a very attractive young lady who was standing in front of a department store rattling a can and crying, "Give me something for orphans. Give me something for the orphans." People would walk by, and she'd just put the can out in front of them. And the can had a nice sign on the front of it. But she just did this, and people were dropping coins in. But nobody seemed to notice what was said on the can. And this is what it said on the can. Give 3-headed orphans of claustrophobia. This is a fake. That's exactly what it said on this can. This was an experiment. This young lady was posted on this particular street to help find an answer to a question of how gullible are we. And the answer, apparently, is we're very gullible. There were 4 different cities that this test was done in, and only 4 people out of the 264-plus that stopped, only 4, read what was on the can and paid attention and detected the fraud. And 59% of those who stopped in front of the young lady always put something in the can. Now, what was interesting is that more men contributed than women, proving, they think, that men are more gullible or men like pretty girls. And so they're attracted to what they described as pretty canvases. I wonder if that was something done by a certain marketing department. Anyway, I thought that was a fun story this year. And, hey, you know, it's absolutely amazing what people will, you know, what we'll do. We won't even think twice about it. And some of us we'll reach a point where we're not interested. And now here in the Pacific Northwest, we will see many times people on different corners in Seattle, and they're always begging. And my husband and I, many years ago, decided, well, we're not going to give anything to any of them because we realize it's part of an organized effort. It's not something where it's just random. These are people that are out there making a living off of it. And one of the things that we were told is that some of these people will make more money just being on the corners than you could ever imagine. Some people make as much as $40,000 a year, and that just blew me away when I found that out. But I had to chuckle because in Seattle there was a particular intersection that my husband and I often would pass, and we noticed the same people at this intersection, and it was just amazing, absolutely amazing. So we found that there was structure to what they were doing. We have people that are on the freeways that, or just before you get on the freeway, that will have their signs, and we realized how very well organized this is. And it's a fascinating phenomena, but it does go on. Well, I wanted to share with you a story. I was telling you about heart attacks, and I wanted to share little Lori's story with you because women, they had have hardly done any research on women and heart disease, and they are discovering now, because they're paying more attention, that the rate of heart attacks among women is increasing at a tremendous rate. And so women really need to pay attention, not just to their diet, but the fact that they can get hardening of the arteries, just like men have been known to get. And Lori was a woman that in a million years you would never have expected would have had any kind of heart problems. Now, she lived in Sherman Oaks, California, and she's a mom. She has two children. She was walking uphill when she felt a very sharp, sharp pain in her chest. And as quickly as it had struck, the pain was gone. Now, this was something abnormal for her. So, wisely, she called her doctor, and her doctor sent her to a cardiologist. She really wasn't too concerned because she was only 39 years old. She had never smoked. She was very conscientious about what she ate, and she exercised. Well, when they did a stress test on her, it showed normal heart activity, so they figured it must have been a gastric problem. However, Lori tested negative for the gastrointestinal disorders, and her chest was hurting more and more. And when she danced with her husband and with her kids, whenever she had a lot of physical activity, she began noticing this. Now, the pain started flaring up even when she was carrying groceries. Now, as it happened, one day she was at a store. She saw a newspaper, and there in the front section of the paper, she saw a story about heart disease and women. And she said the article stated that for women, the warning signs could be a lot milder than men's. There was no shooting pain down the arm. Women's symptoms were often missed or dismissed, even by doctors. So women, especially young women, were going untreated. Well, she really got excited about what she had read because she felt, I have got heart problems. This is so much like what I'm reading about. So she found that there was a female cardiologist that was mentioned in the article, and she called a female cardiologist. And this cardiologist was Dr. Noelle Mertz at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, and she was running a more sophisticated stress test. And when they did that test on Lori, they found her heart was not operating in a normal way. And what they have found with women in research, plaque builds up more evenly in the arterial walls. So there may not be a big clot, just a gradual narrowing of the arteries. And when they did the stress test and some other things with Lori, again, they were more sophisticated than what the average doctor had. She said, we found three of yours are blocked. You had very high cholesterol levels, and you are fortunate you're in here because it's a walking time bomb. So anyway, they had to go in for surgery. Surgery went well, and she's doing just beautifully. And Lori said, I want people to know my story because women don't know that heart disease, not cancer, is our biggest health threat. Trust your instincts, get the help you need, and you can live a long, healthy life like me. And again, this is a young woman that, 39 years of age, why should she be having problems? Well, the body can do some very interesting things. And I think it's so important for us to take a conscientious attitude about ourselves and realize that sometimes there are things that we need to be alert to. So that's why educating ourselves as individuals is very, very important. And share that knowledge with others. So just like Lori, she was open and receptive, and you need to be the same way. Well, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is a wonderfully delicious experience. I want you to know that your obstacles are there to show you how great you really are. Go out there and surmount them and do it with joy. This is Donna Sebo. God bless. I'll be with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.